Welcome back to the Zume Multiplying Disciples podcast, where we're on a journey to saturate the world with multiplying disciples in our generation. All right, Curtis. So in previous episodes, we talked a little bit about the history of Zume, its inception to creation, and, you know, its literal reproduction happening. Let's talk a little bit about the ecosystem. There are so many different resources and tools that all integrate together, just like the ecosystem of life. I'll just let you dive in and tell us about it.
All right, great. So from the perspective of Zume, in one sense, the Zume.training site is, you know, the center from that perspective. And so that training site, first of all, has multiple use cases. It was originally designed as a self-guided small group curriculum that had 10 sessions. And so people sort of self-facilitate the groups that they're meeting with, usually live, but they also do happen online. And they go through the content like that. Zume can also be used as a training resource for live trainings. So if you're wanting to equip a group in one or more of the topics that are covered in Zume, you can pull up a video or, you know, use some of the worksheets that are in the guidebook or things like that. Another use case is as a follow-up for online evangelism. So there are a lot of sites that have online evangelism, but rarely do they have, you know, a robust follow-up, you know, approach. Or if they do, it's, you know, kind of content driven without the application and accountability built in. So this provides sort of a more robust follow-up for online evangelism. Another use case would be just as a source of review for people who have been trained by other means. Another use case would be using the pieces of Zume, like the specific videos, for example, as content that you drive people to through online ad campaigns, you know, like through social media, you know, ad campaigns. And then that can drive them from that content, you know, through a process or to some other resource. Another use case would be SD card distribution or USB, you know, memory stick distribution. This is usually used either in places that have highly restricted environments related to online things or very little access to tech like, you know, smartphones and things like that. Another use case would be downloading content via the Zume app that we'll talk about later for offline use. So sometimes if somebody's in a place that has low bandwidth or whatever, they can download all the content ahead of time onto their phone or their other device and use it, you know, later. Another use case would be as new member training for more traditional churches. So, for example, even here in the U.S., I'm aware of one really large mega church that uses Zume as the training that they provide to new members that either are baptized or, you know, join from some other church. So that would be a use case. You can have facilitated online trainings. So we call that Zume on Zoom. So there are courses that, you know, take place regularly that just unrelated people from different places jump on, and they don't really want to facilitate a group of people they know. So they're just randomly jumping on these groups on Zoom. And then soon we'll have sort of a guidebook only option, where all of the content that's included in the videos and the audio clips are all included in an expanded version of the guidebook. So that's, you know, another option that will be coming soon. So first of all, that's all around the Zoomay.training site. But as you noted, that's really part of a larger ecosystem. So the most obvious site that's part of that ecosystem would be Zoomay.vision. So the Zoomay.vision site talks about the goals for what we hope to see accomplished through this training in saturating the globe with training groups and new churches, these simple churches that people plant after going through the Zoomay training. And so there it includes things like what we call playbooks that would be examples of how Zoomay has been used among a particular demographic, you know, like in prisons or in high schools or so on, or, you know, just tips on how to use it. And then ways that you can sort of communicate with other practitioners. You can sign up for a coach through Zoomay.vision as well as through Zoomay.training. But the Zoomay vision is sort of how you implement the training once you've been through it and how you collaborate with others on that. Another part of that ecosystem would be Disciple Tools. So Disciple Tools is a CRM. I'm just blanking on that. It's contact. What's the R? Management. CR management. Contact something. Anyway.
Relationship manager. Customer relationship
manager. Yeah, customer. Yeah. So customer relationship manager for disciple making. So it takes, it tracks individuals through, you know, the pre-believer stage as they're seeking, and then them coming to faith, and then, you know, growing as a disciple, them planting churches and those churches reproducing. It tracks contact with those, you know, people through that whole process. And that serves as the back end for Zoomay. So, you know, it's not visible to users, but there's this whole, you know, system behind it for the coaches to use as they're following up with people. But that is also a standalone CRM that is used by a lot of different organizations. So there are many ministries that use Disciple Tools to track their, you know, ministry. And this is true both with online ministries and with live ministries. So that's part of this ecosystem. And it allows for communications among those different ministries. If they so choose, they can share their information with others. Another site that's part of this ecosystem is kingdom.training. So what kingdom.training is an introduction for media to movements. So that is use of media and predominantly so far social media, but including, you know, other aspects too. Getting the users of that, the consumers of those, you know, of that media to become first kingdom citizens, right? To come to faith and then to grow as disciples and reproduce other disciples in simple churches. So it's using media to do all of that. So kingdom.training is an introduction into sort of that world or that type of ministry. And so you can see how that is tied to Zume. Zume would only, you know, sort of kick in later in that journey, but it's part of that larger ecosystem. And then the Pray for Movement sites. There's a Pray for, and it's the number four, movement.org that has different prayer maps and prayer tools and is getting ready to undergo extensive expansion and improvement. But already that Pray for Movement family of sites is significantly intertwined with Zume. So for example, here in North America, we're having an effort to have every state and every province in Canada have a Pray for site. So we have a template and some guidelines and some content that would go, you know, into updating that site regularly, trying to get people praying for movements and then involving them in being trained, you know, like, for example, through Zume or other training to learn how to implement these movement approaches. And so that's part of this ecosystem. Also, there are Pray for Country sites. There's a great prayer tool on that site for administering 24/7 prayer efforts for specific targets. And all of these are tied into maps, and you can, you know, pray for example, every province or state in a country, you know, so there's an emphasis to get 24/7 prayer for each of the 52 nations that are majority Muslim during Ramadan. And so there's a tool to help you set up one of those. And so there's lots of tools like that. And that's tied in. So far, all of those sites that I've mentioned, it's the same team that's working to develop all of those. The Zume training, Zume vision, disciple tools, kingdom training, the Pray for Movement. So they're not just, you know, accidentally related to one another. They're designed to be, you know, part of this larger ecosystem. Then there are other groups or other sites that, you know, are connected. So for example, morediscipleshub.com is a site run by Team Expansion. So they have things like the 30-day challenge, or they have a series of podcasts that are amazing, that are closely integrated with Zume. They have these webcasts called Multiply Us, and those are tied in. They also have adapted some of the Zume training materials into sets that are designed to be attractive to more traditional churches as small group curriculums or curricula. So one of those, for example, would be called T groups. And there's, you know, they have a link to training that includes about 60% of the Zume content, but set up in a more bite-sized fashion. So all of those together form sort of this ecosystem that we're talking about.
It's incredible to think about all these different facets. People might know one of them or two of them, and more people now knowing about all of them. But for those listening, if you're like, man, how do I jot down notes quick enough to look at all these different avenues, we are going to link to this episode a document that just has a list of many of these different resources that Curtis talked about between uses of Zume, different ideas, which you'll also gather many from our episodes together, but then also just these tangible links that you all can click on and explore. So Curtis, when you think about this ecosystem, and I know we're just beginning to tap into all of it, and there's so much depth and breadth to it, what do you wish people knew earlier? Or what do you hear people say that they wish they knew earlier about how this all connects?
Yeah, I don't know in terms of the connection, because I haven't heard people comment as much on that yet. But just in terms of what they knew generally, I think a lot of people aren't aware that you can access just individual chunks of Zume training as standalone content. So internally, we call those the Zume pieces. And we have 32 of those. So there'll be a topic, like, say, prayer walking. And so you can access a little bit of printed content and either an audio or video segment that summarizes the training on that topic. And that means that when, you know, if you look at all of those different pieces, it's possible to sort of compose your own customized training that includes the topics you want to highlight in the order you want to highlight them, that people could put together very simply. You know, literally half an hour, you could come up with a one page document that had clickable links and customize it for a specific event or a specific audience. And I don't think people are aware of how easy it is to make customizable content using those little pieces.
What do you find people are just often surprised by as they learn about all these different tools?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they first hear about it, they just assume, oh, this is another discipleship, you know, program or whatever. And as they look into it, they're surprised at the structure of it, how it's really set up to provide practical accountability to apply and to pass on, you know, everything that's learned. So, you know, when you have your if you register and you get your personalized dashboard, you're tracking, first of all, you know, have you gone through all the content? But second, which of them have you actually applied in your own life? You know, and you keep track of that. And then which of these have you shared with others? And then which of those have, you know, now they've been training others generationally. And so it's a very different thing than just understanding theological concepts or even unpacking theological principles. It's very much focused on that application and passing on to others in such a way that they're passing it on to others. And so I think that's part of what makes Zume unique.
What would you like us to know or understand about this ecosystem of Zume and the other tools?
Yeah, one of the purposes is for Zume to be like an entry door. So it's not ever intended to be an end in itself. It's the introduction into a broader world. And so even if people go through the course and finish it, I still want them to view this as the first step, you know, in this direction and become engaged with the broader community. So, for example, the Zoomae.vision is a step, you know, further into collaboration in that world. Really, the 2414 coalition would be a natural place to connect for ongoing coaching, mentoring, collaboration, and so on. And so, in case I forget, the URL for the website there is 2414now.net. And so, you know, we don't view Zoomae as an end, but as an entry or an on-ramp, you know, to this multiplicative disciple making and church planting.
So where would you suggest people start? I know there's so many different starting places, but if they haven't gotten started yet in any of these, what would you suggest as next steps?
Yeah, if you haven't been through the training, I'd suggest go through the training, and preferably with a small group of at least four people. If you really aren't up to pulling together a group, then maybe sign up for one of the Zoomae on Zoom courses and go through it that way. And of course, as a last resort, you can just go through it yourself as an individual. If you do that, I suggest that you do register and sort of track your progress on your dashboard.
So is there anything that people need to do to really be able to engage in how all these different pieces are interconnected?
Well, you know, like I said, the Zoomae training is intended to be an on-ramp. So once you get on that ramp, the Zoomae.vision, you know, is a natural next step. The 2414 is a natural next step. The kingdom.training, especially if you're a person who's active in social media, would be a next step. The pray for movement, you know, we emphasize the importance of prayer. So that needs to be a continuing, you know, aspects. So, yeah, I know I've just repeated myself, but really those are all aspects of next steps that could be taken by anybody.
Honestly, there's so much good pieces to all of this. It's great to even hear the repeat pieces might jump out in different ways for different people, but to also understand that this isn't like a sequential process that people have to go through one than the other, but to see that wherever you are, you can hop into these different areas, but just to make sure that you're going through this training, you're applying it, you're doing it yourself as well. And you mentioned it, a little last resort of doing it on your own. What's the significance of doing it with a few other people, whether it's people they gathered or they jump in into a small gathering that someone else is brought together via signing up or reaching out to people? What's the difference between going at it on your own and being in a small group doing it?
Yeah, a significant part of the kingdom life is the body, right? That's the corporate aspects are significant if we follow Christ. We don't just gain God as our Father, you know, and Jesus as our brother, but we're in a sense adopted into a whole family. And so those corporate aspects of following him are important. In fact, you know, we spend a fair amount of time unpacking that. How can we obey the one another's if we're by ourselves? You know, we can't. How can we appreciate the way God has designed us to work together as his body based on our different gifts and abilities if we only are working alone? We can't. you know, all of the aspects from the wisdom literature, right? And Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and so on, over and over talk about the advantages of having two or three versus one, you know, the strength, the having someone to pick you up when you fall and so on. And the accountability aspects are far more robust and meaningful if we're in a community context, if we're in a group context, than if we're an individual. So many of the practical tools that we equip people in through the Zume training require other people, whether it's the accountability groups, whether it's what we call the three-thirds groups, or so on. So at some point, if you're going to do that, you have to be in a group setting. And so it's, you know, preferable if you can pick up those skills also in the group setting.
So good. So for people who are already involved, Zume.vision, maybe it's where you're listening to this podcast, or Zume.training. And so you're already engaged really in this ecosystem, whether you realize it or not, but to get to explore this bigger picture of what's happening. Curtis, as we wrap up, is there anything that you would add or want to highlight again, or just make sure that we don't miss out on in getting to tap into all that there is to offer?
Nothing really comes to mind. Just the reminder that this idea of multiplying and saturating the earth, these are God's ideas. These aren't some, you know, person trying to be clever, coming up with some plan. These all revolve around God's commands that he gave from the very beginning to multiply, fill the earth, you know. And this is something that we know has to happen and will happen before he returns, right? The 2414 coalition that I mentioned is named after the verse, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So from beginning to end, you know, God is concerning himself with these matters of multiplying the, in a sense, the knowledge of his glory through all of the earth and saturating it. And that is something he has invited us to be part of. He's inviting us into that grand narrative of all of history and all of creation. And so these are just some basic skills and principles and understandings that we, you know, I really think they're something that every follower of Christ needs to know. This isn't some, you know, extra credit for specially gifted or called people. The Zume training is the basics, the introduction that every believer should know. So I just encourage people to have a look at it.
Awesome. Thanks, Curtis.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening. To learn more, go to www.zume.vision. And to be equipped, go to www.zume.training. Have questions for the podcast? You can email them to podcast@zume.vision.